You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. The Simcha, of course, as we are in the cusp of Sukkot, just a day from now, the Rambam says that in Perek Vav of Hilchos Shvisas Yom Tov, he says, first of all, there is an idea of, besides Simcha, there's also an idea on Yom Tov of Oneg Yom Tov, Kavod Yom Tov. So, Kishem Shemitzvah L'Chabed Shabbat U'Anka. There's an idea of giving honor to the day, oneg to the day. Every Yom Tov has that as well. We learned out from a pasuk that we read on the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, L'Kadosh Hashem Mechubad. So we know that besides Simcha, which we'll see is going to have to do with Korbanot, there's an idea of Kavod of Yom Tov as well. There's an idea of oneg of Yom Tov. So kavod would be in advance. It's not the feeling that you have during it to get a certain release or spiritual energies going off in your head, a sense of well-being, a sense of closeness to God. There's kavod Yom Tov, the Rambam says. And kavod means that when before Yom Tov starts, a person would have to not eat on Erev Yom Tov. Because what sort of kavod of Yom Tov is if you are completely full and stuffed, and therefore Yom Tov is sort of like, I don't need this night. I'm full from what I ate all Erev Yom Tov. You didn't show kavod to it. Kavod is all in the planning. Kavod is cleaning for Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos. It's not oneg yet. Getting the house ready to look in a certain way when Yom Tov, when Shabbos starts. That's Kavod Yom Tov. And we learn that out from the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that there's a din of Kavod on Yom Tov as well. The Rambam says an amazing thing. He quotes a very extreme Chazal in this. Kol ha-mevaze es ha-moedot ki'ilu nitva l'avod zara. If a person really sort of treats the Yom Tov, hey, it's coming, okay, but I don't really do much to get ready for it. I didn't clean the house and get everything beautiful. So in a way, you treated the Yom Tov as if, yeah, okay, it's happening, all right, at least, listen, I didn't do malacha, but you did nothing in advance. The Rambam says that's like a bizayon of Yom Tov. And that's as if you're part of a pagan cult, as if you're part of Avodah Zarah. He will nitva l'avodah zarah, because that's the way you show your allegiance, is by what you do beforehand. The Rambam is very ecstatic isn't the word. He's very emphatic that this is very crucial to have a kavod Yom Tov. Then he gets into that Yom Tov is a time of Simcha. So it's Kavod first, and then Simcha. Chayav Adam L'yos Ben Sameach B'Tlev L'Lev. You need to have Simcha on Yom Tov. And Simcha, of course, the Rambam often says, is really, it's an external to create an internal. It's it's an external, but it's Tov L'Lev. And Hu Ubanav V'Ishtoi. Yom Tov can't exist in a vacuum. It has to be you and your children, your wife, if you have grandchildren living with you, if you have an adopted nephew, whoever it is, a person who's an orphan who has part of your household, a slave, all of them, in a way, have to be besimcha. You have to be the source of simcha for them. Now, as he says in Hilchos Chagiga. At the time there's a Beis HaMikdash, the simple Chazal said B'samachta means bringing a carbon, Shlomim, to be in Yerushalayim and have the great Hanoah of eating a carbon. Eating a carbon, of eating from God's table. But the Rambam says, Yesh b'chalal oisa simcha. As much as for you, the male, the adult, the breadwinner, it's as the head of the household, he brings this carbon shlomim. But included in that simcha is to take care of the others as well. It's an amazing trick that you have to do. On one end, you are this religious focused person. I've got the animal. I'm bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm waiting in line. The carbon shlomim is being offered. Hope I can get it done on Yom Tov itself. And it will hopefully be done. And I'm going to jostle and push and get the meat eaten. And we're going to eat it in Yerushalayim somewhere in a place that we've rented. And a place that we're allowed to stay, and everyone, and hopefully we're going to eat this meat that we're going to realize that it was on the Mizbeach, not it, but it was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, and parts of it have been gone, parts of the same animal have been on the Mizbeach, and this is the part I'm eating, and I gave some of it to the Kohen. That's the Shlomim, the special Shlomim of the Chagigah. And you makayim your simcha, but included in that, the Rambam says, and this is very interesting, included in that simcha is l'smoachu ubanav ubnei bezei, is that you have to somehow, you can't just live in that rarefied air of my animal, my carbon, my Yerushalayim. You have to, the people that are part of your house, if they're with you or not, if they're with you, or even if you left them home, you've got to make sure that there's something that flowed to them as well, based on who they were. Ko echad ve'echad b'royilo, based on who they were. Now, the Rambam is basing this on the Gemara in Pesachim. But again, the Rambam codifies it in his own masterful way. Ketzad. Haktanim nosen lehem koyes vagozim umigdanot. So you give the children, based on who they are, the carbon doesn't mean much to them. Either they're with you and they get the candies that they like, the nuts, the unusual treat that they usually don't have, the stuff that their eyes light up on, sugar plums, fairies, right? As we know, right? The kid in a candy store, we know what it's like. Ah. Bahanoshim. Kona lehem begodim betachshit. They get clothes, they get some jewelry, some accoutrement. Kefi mamono, don't go crazy. But based on what you can spend, it isn't this elaborate, out of the world gift, but it's the type of thing that you can afford, and it's something special. What about the men? The men, the Rambam says, well, either maybe they'll be part of the carbon. But if they're not, they're still men that are part of their household. What do they like? They like to eat meat and drink wine. Shein simcha el b'basar, shein simcha el b'yayin. For men, there's nothing like a good steak. There's nothing like a good drink, good wine, a good port, a good merlot. A good wine. There's something, a simcha in that drinking and what it does to you. Now, that's number two. So there's carbon on one level. There's husband to the wife, to the child, to other adults that are part of this household. Recognizing a certain, I guess, I don't know if it's a lower state, but a certain earthiness. Meat and wine. And then the Rambam says something very uniquely the Rambam. When he's involved in this, and he has his eating and drinking, and it's part of it is his carbon, and wine, which is not part of the carbon, and the happiness that's going around, there needs to be food given either at his table or in some way sent to them, to the ger, the person who's become a Jew but doesn't have that family, the yatom, the one who lost his parents, an almana who lost her husband. Imshar haniyim amelalim. There's other haniyim that are in pain, and you have to search them out, and they should also benefit from what you're doing. Look at the words of the Rambam: chayev lahachil. You are chayev to make sure that they are provided for. Avol mi shedoyel noel dalsus chatzer va'ochel v'shoze u'bana v'ishto. If basically what you do is you're pretty well off. Let's say you live in a villa in Yerushalayim, or let's say the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and there is no shalomim anymore. And you realize, the poor people are going to be coming around. Let's just lock the door on them. They can't even get in. They can't even knock. We're not even going to hear them because they can't even get to the front door because we locked the chotzer. That's what he says. Dalsus chatzero. If the chatzer is not locked, they can come in and knock on the door. The chotzer is the courtyard in front of the door. If the chotzer is locked, they can't even knock on that. And then v'ochel v'shoz u'bona v'ishto. And then he's with his own group that he is comfortable with. He's eating and drinking. His kids are enjoying their candies and other stuff. V'einu maichel mashkev aniyim u'mari nefesh. And he's not giving any food to the aniyim and the people who are generally carry a weight, a burden. They're not pleasant people to be with. They're mari nefesh, right? The minute they realize they're looking at them, they got a sob story they got to tell. And that might be one of the reasons why you don't want to be connected to them. But if that's the way it is, and you have operated in a way that, you can sing the greatest zmiros in the world, you can say the best divrei Torah, you could even be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash enjoying the korban and feeling a sense of ruchnias, ein zu simchas mitzvah. Not simchas mitzvah, el simchas kreisoi. It's the simcha of your stomach, the simcha of your belly. Ve'al eilu nemar, zilcheyem kelechem oynim lachem. Their korban that they made is like a bread of sin. It's a bread of pain and sin. Kol oichlov, whoever eats from that korban in that house, and it's sukkahs, it's the simcha, we're in the sukkah, we're singing zmirois, it's beautiful, but nobody can get in because it's behind your house and the chutzar is locked and there's not one ani around. And the kol oichlov yita'amu, the pasuk says. Whoever eats of that karban becomes tameh by connection. Ki lachmam lenapsham. Because everything they're eating is just for themselves. V'simcha zu klein hi lachem. The truth is, it's embarrassing to them. It's a blot on their dignity. This simcha, it's something that's, you would consider it one of their worst moments. As the pasuk in Malachi says, "V'zireisi perish al penechem." I am going to scatter dung on your face. Perish chagechem. In other words, the chag that you have, the korban. To me, it's almost like I'm thinking about the fecal material inside that animal. You took the meat, which was great. I feel like I want to take the fecal material from that animal and spread it all across your face. That's what the Novi Malachi said. That was the message he got from God of the people who closed themselves off. So that is the Rambam's ethics really coming out in a very strong way. There's the kavod beforehand, which the Rambam feels is crucial. There's also, of course, the recognition of everybody who's involved, and especially when it comes to the aniyim. And the people who are Mari Nefesh, the people, I guess part of it is the fact that they don't have someone to sit with on Yom Tov. It's not so much they don't have the food, but they also aren't with people. They are wallowing in their pain. Now, it's true, part of them might want to be to sort of like go to your house and you need to know the right way to counter that, to elevate them, to be positive. Maybe it's going to take a little bit of listening to their sob story as well and their hurt. But you're going to have to use your wisdom and making them feel that this moment is important. And it means a lot, and you're not just condescending to them. That is a very, very big avodah of Simchas Yom Tov, according to the Rambam. And that takes a lot of inner ability. You can't manufacture that. You can't just snap your fingers and be that way. The Rambam now deals with the machlokas that's in the beginning of the second parak of Beitza. We had in Daf Yomi recently. What should be the way one conducts themselves in the Simcha of Yom Tov? So you don't have the whole day to eat or drink. This is what you should do. In the morning, what is the Seder? You don't get up late, Yom Tov morning. You get up early. Everybody, kol ha'om, should get up early, whether they daven a base kness or the base medrash. They're mispaulim, a korn betor binyan ayom. V'chosen l'beitayim, and go home and eat. But you know what? Ochlin, but then, hochen l'batim medrashos. Your meal could be over by 10:30. You're getting up early. You're davening. No rabbi speech. You go home, you eat. Nice meal. Go back to shul. And you learn till midday. That's the Rambam's recipe. That's the Rambam's itinerary for how a person should act on Yom Tov, which is to learn, to eat and learn. Acher chatzi ayom, when it's already after midday, should daven mincha. Interesting, you daven mincha early on Yom Tov, according to that. And then you go back. And here the Rambam says you can eat if you want. But at least you spent a good part of the morning in davening and learning. Kishonim ochel v'shosev v'sameach b'regel v'yimoshech b'yayin u'b'schok u'b'kalas reish. So now the Rambam deals with the fact that we talked about meat and wine. We know what wine can do. We know that a great wine, you can feel elevated, you can feel that it's elegant. But we know that what it could do, especially if a person is not developed spiritually, what it could do is it could push you. And of course, what this does, it pushes you into silliness. Your inhibitions are gone, and what it can cause you is in your mind, you think that you're being very humorous. But really, it's tremendous kalus reish. Kalus reish. That's what happens when you drink and you don't realize it. If you would watch a film of yourself, you would think that you were being very witty and you were just in a very good mood. But I'm sure, you know, again, if we would view ourselves, we would be quite ashamed. And you might say to yourself, Shekol Sheyosef is a Yarbim mitzvah. Sure, more, bring in something else. Yeah, this is all the mitzvah, I feel so good. Boy, this is so much better than the drab rest of the year. So the more schoik, the more kalus reish, the more mitzvah it is. That's what you say to yourself. Again, the Rambam is extremely knowledgeable for psychology. Shekol Sheyosef is a Yarbim mitzvah. Shashikrus b'haschoik, Harbe, Bekalus Rosh, that's not a mitzvah. The fact that you're getting clearly more inebriated and you're laughing even more and everybody's in such a fest, sort of like a mood where their inhibitions are peeling away. Ain't no simcha. That is not simcha, despite the way you feel. The Rambam calls it something else. He says it's called holelus. It's called like extreme silliness, foolishness. You might laugh at it, right? You might, again, you know, you laugh at the Marx brothers, you know, but that's not simcha. Holelus v'siklus. Actually, there is a film that I think if somebody watches at least a couple of minutes of it, they'll understand, I mean, what this is and how, you know, John Cassavetes, the bold filmmaker, made a film called Faces. And in it, he talks about, you know, there are people that are, you would call, you know, somewhat sophisticated people who are involved in, just in a life of escape and pleasure. And he films them in such a brazen way. And you can, if you watch that film and you see the, you know, no music, no laugh track, it's just very straight in the face. It can make you feel, ooh, is that me? That happens to me? Is that what happens to me when I sort of like get in an inebriated mood and when I'm involved and joking around with my friends? It's so unknowable. It's so ignoble. And that's what the Rambam is saying. It's simcha that, what does the simcha do? Is simcha's really a means of serving the creator of the world? Simcha, it's simcha that in itself is avodas. Shenemar, what do we say in the Tokucha? Tachas asher lo vadatza lai lo hecha b'simcha v'tov levav. So you see that simcha is, avoda needs to be b'simcha. You didn't serve God with simcha. Simcha is avodas Hashem. Now, how could, there's no avodas Hashem going on in that tableau of people getting just more inebriated and silly. Where's avodas Hashem? Simcha is a form of where avodas Hashem can happen. That's what the Rambam is saying. The simcha that accrues on Yontev becomes a form of avodas Hashem, eating that korban, and what it does for you, what it's supposed to elicit, is not just a feeling of well being, but the Rambam is now saying it's got to be avoda. Because you can be over Hashem with simcha. And here the Rambam says, the simcha is itself avoda. It's a simcha that avoda is part of it. And therefore, that's part of what the good feeling that you're feeling is, I feel I'm being over God. Not just the mitzvah. Oh, it's a mitzvah. Drink more. It's Purim. Drink more. The more you drink, oh, every drop's a mitzvah. You actually realize how you're focused on God in your simcha. That is what's demanded. That is the simcha of every yontif. When it comes to sukkahs, the Rambam says, "Bechag sukkahs hayisay shom b'mikdash simcha yaseira." So the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot is a spot for a higher, even more simcha. So the Rambam explains here the events that we know as the Beis HaShoeva. It's clear from the Rambam that this is not about, although it's Beis HaShoeva, it's not really about the way the Rashi explains the simcha. Rashi explains the special simcha on Sukkot was connected to the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. And Nisuch HaMayim was an act that were done, a very important act, an act that was considered a Lachmosh Misinai. Some try to learn it, some there is a sheet just to try to learn that from the Psukim. a remez from the Psukim and Parshas Pinchas. But Simchas Beis HaShoev, according to Rashi, is connected to the special mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim that was done in with the Korban Tumid every day, and therefore at night we celebrated this incredible mitzvah. Now, why was it incredible? It was incredible, according to Rashi, because, the way I understand it, is because it was something that was Torah Shebal Peh. It was something that the Tzedukim didn't agree with. Chazal instituted huge counter demonstrations to whatever the Tzedukim were against. We know that when it came to the second day of Pesach, the cutting of the Omer crop, and the creation of the Mincha that was set on the second day of Pesach was an incredibly festive event. And we tried to, in Yiddish we say they made a trask out of it, a trask. They made a big deal about it because they knew that Tzedukim were against it. And of course, the Tzedukim felt that it was not the second day of Pesach, but of course, you would bring the korban on the day after the Shabbos in Pesach, Mimocharas HaShabbos. The first Shabbos in Pesach, the next day would be the first day you bring the korban, and of course, Shavuos would then be 49 days from there. When we knew that we were fighting for the authenticity of Torah Shebal Peh, and one of those mitzvahs, we surrounded it with something special. The same thing was true with Nisuch HaMayim. So beforehand, we made sure we celebrated like a great celebration for this special mitzvah that we know is true, despite what the Tzedukim say, despite the fact that it doesn't have any actual scriptural words in the Torah that's indicated. We know it's true because this is our tradition, and the tradition, in a sense, is our true tradition. And our simcha is really a simcha, not so much in this specific mitzvah, but it's what the mitzvah, that how this symbolizes all of our traditions, which allow the Torah to come alive for us, which allow the Torah to be something that is not just these words that could be open interpretation, but we have a solid tradition that we know it's true. And even though it seems to be tortured the way the pasuk comes out, but that's how little we know, because we still have this system of Torah Shebal Peh, which we can study and analyze and jump into and swim in and enjoy. That's all part of the Simcha of Torah Shebal Peh and the Simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which glorifies how the Torah Shebal Peh brought that mitzvah to us. That is the way I understand what's behind it, according to Rashi. But the Rambam doesn't say that it's connected to the Beis the being Shoev the Mayim. Right? The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says that it's a simcha because of what it says in the Torah, that you have a simcha of 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that it says simcha for in front of God 7 days means it must be a powerful simcha. How was that enacted? Erev Yom Tov Rishon, Ayim Masakna B'Mikdash Mokom L'Noshim Milamala. Women would be able to view it, men would be below. We didn't want this simcha to be men and women mixing and becoming a social event, but they should see it. It was important for women to be there and to process it. And it would start, of course, on the first night of Chol HaMoed. After the Tumid Shel Bein Arbayim, be late in the afternoon, it's starting. So it would start on the second night of Sukkot. On the second day in the afternoon, once the Korban Tumid was brought, once again, Simcha was generated. And the whole night they'd be up. And what was this simcha that was happening in the Beis HaMikdash? Chachalil makeh, the flute. You could hear the flute sounds, all the wind instruments, the chalil. Umenagim b'kinor, and the string instruments, umenavolim, uvemiltzat Tayim, and with the drums, the cymbals, the right, all different styles of making music, the wind and the string and the drum. Kol echad ve'echad b'kli shir shu yodeh l'nagin bo. You got to be a knowing. You got to be a little bit of a virtuoso. It has to be something you know how to do it. So, in other words, the people that were there were the best. There was Van Cliburn. There was Yo-Yo Ma. There was Long Long. You know, you get the best ones. You would get Yitzchak Perlman, Isaac Stern. You get the best. Yeah. You get the best players to do that. And and if you had a Pavarotti, if you had a Bobby McFerrin, yet somebody was able to use his mouth and to use that incredible the gift of a person's mouth to make music, he would use that. Verokdin, Umisapkin, Umetapkin, Umafazazin, the Nicholas brothers, right? Fred Astaire, right? The people who know how to right? They know how to be to dance, to be Misapeach, Metapeach, right? They're able to use their body to create that rhythmic sound, Umafazazin, Umacharkikin. Right, and then you'd have these gesticulations, and right, kol echad, registration with your hands, kol echad ve'echad kamo sheyodeya, and what you know how to do. You can't just be this wild bear of a thing, right? There's a certain move, right? There's a certain move that you became an expert in, right? As you see sometimes at weddings, right? You know, when people just, you know, don't know what they're doing, it's sort of like clumsy, like a clumsy ox, right? But this is people kamo sheyodeya. In other words, you have to know. Everyone does what they know how to do. You have to know it. You can't just say, "Well, I'll just stick my hands up and you know and shake my belly." You know? There's a certain move that you've worked on. There's something that you know how to do. The Omrem Divrei Shir V'Tishbachot, and of course, it isn't just you know what comes out of you is the words of Shir and Shevach. And nothing here is docha Shabbos or Yontif. It's important, but it's just this is Chazal's description. Rambam is paraphrasing it in his own way. It says mitzvah laharbos b'simchazu, and it's not just okay. We did it. All right. Yeah. Okay. Was there some dancing there? Okay. What was going on? No. This is supposed to be intense. But lo ayosin oso ame aretz. It wasn't just everybody. I mentioned people before. The people who were part of it, the Pavarottis, the Perlmans, the Astaires, the Nicholas brothers, they couldn't just be people who were proficient in dancing. The people that would be the show-offs would be great people. Chachamim, the Rosh Yeshiva is for Sanhedrin. V'chassidim v'zikeinim v'anshei ma'isa. That's what we're talking about. The people who would be up there would be the greatest. Now, again, I don't know how that works. Generally, the two don't necessarily go together. But hey.
Could it be euphemism that they interpreted Torah in various ways instead of literally dancing?
Could be.
I
don't think the Rambam means that. I don't think the Rambam means that. I think the Rambam. The Rambam is being is taking the description from the Talmud. And the Rambam is telling us that you know that the you would assume that part of you know you couldn't just become this you know this overweight guy who just sat there and learned and right some of these guys were fit as a fiddle and could play the fiddle.
They were both
they could go silver was right. And we're talking about the biggest people. Haim Shoyu Marakdim. They were the ones dancing. They were the ones that were umisapikin. They were the ones that umenangin usmeichin b'mikdash mechagasukis. That's the people who had the star role. Avokoham. Everyone else, Anoshim, Banoshim, Gulan Bayin Lirais. That's what it was. The simcha was to see these people alive, to see these people happy. Like we say, as we say in our tefillas, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? As a chassidim yarina, right? But we would actually see, right? We'd actually see them, not just watching. We would see the chassidim, what we happened every sukkahs in the Beis HaMikdash, in Lufnei Hashem, was an incredible explosion of choreographed exuberance done by the greatest people. And the fact that you know, who is that? That's the Rosh Hashiva, that's the Zaken, that's Hillel, that's Bava Ben Buta, that's the Zakenim, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Tzadok. Yes, look at him, look at that move he's making. Shasimcha sheyismach adam basiyas hamitzvos, as he says again, the simcha that you do, that you're so, you feel when you do mitzvos, and you're taken by the love of God, avoda gedolahi. It is an avoda. And it's avoda always. But on Sukkot, it's a tremendous avoda. But it's always an avoda. And on Sukkot, you need to work on it. V'chol hamayneya atzmo misimchazu. Now the Rambam quotes the same pasuk that he quotes in Hilchos Yontif, Hilchos Shvizos Yontif, but he quotes it in a different way. In Hilchos Shvizos Yontif, he tells you that Simcha is, Avodas Hashem is Simcha. That the Simcha that God wants is an aspect of Avodas Hashem. Now the Rambam is going to say that if you are capable of, you are an Oved Hashem. You are a great Oved Hashem, but you just can't bring yourself to disinhibit yourself in front of the people and lose yourself in the idea that we're in front of God on Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't, and you can, but you say, nah, it's not for me, nah, don't drag me in the circle, kol menei atzmai misimchazu, ra'ui lihi para mimenu. He deserves to be punished. Shenemar, tachas asher lo avadas anay leacha b'simcha b'tov leivov. Meaning, the reason why we went into Golis is because we didn't serve God. So in Hilchos Yom Tov, he explains this pasuk to mean that you didn't understand that avodas Hashem and simcha go together. Your avodas Hashem, you didn't realize the simcha part of yourself was to get drunk and to be, you know, the guy who was just inebriated and just having a good time with the guys and plotzing. And your avodas Hashem was what you did when you woke up and you drank the coffee. No, you didn't put them together. You didn't realize avodas Hashem needs to be besimcha, and simcha is a part of avodas Hashem. That's the first pshat in the pasuk. Why we went into golus, and why we deserve the golus that we're in. Now the Rambam has a new pshat, specifically zeroed in on someone who knows what Avodas Hashem is, and even feels the ecstasy of Avodas Hashem often. But when it comes to a time when we as a people recognize each other and see each other in a public way, you say, I can't do that. Wait. You could have been Oved Hashem with your simcha. You could have been Oved Hashem with your simcha. You could have tapped into that, which is, you're right, it's basically internal. And you could have allowed it to become external. On Sukkot, you need to push yourself to make it external. And you didn't. You said, no, I can't go that far. Even though you knew that's what it says in the Torah, and you know what Chazal interpret that to mean? Very ostentatious dancing and singing and juggling. All the type of things which cause you to say, wow. And you could have done that, but you didn't want to. So you could have been Oyved Hashem because you are an Eved Hashem. You're one of the Zakenim. And you could have danced. You could have topped around, and you didn't. You're going to deserve punishment for that. V'chol ha-megiz daitoi. V'chol ha-kovid la'atzmo. Then you have somebody who says, look, come on. I should dance. I'm the biggest Rosh Hashiva there is. You dance. I'm going to sit there and watch you, and I'll clap a little bit on the side. Okay. Oh, he's a good dancer, isn't he? Oh, yeah, yeah. But you're not doing anything. You don't join. You're megiz daita, and you're sort of taking the covet to yourself. Umischabed be'einav b'mkoymas elu. Chayte. Now, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And you sort of, or if you dance, you don't let loose. What you do is you say, oh, well, I'll dance, but, very, 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 very structured. And then, okay, no, it's just a circle. Okay, we're moving just like this. We're just going to hold hands and that's it. No, you're trying to get covered for yourself. You don't want to, let loose. You're thinking about yourself. Yeah, I don't want to look like I'm silly. I got to worry about my own COVID here. Chote v'shote. You're a sinner. And in fact, the Rambam calls you a shote. The Rambam says you're a shote. You don't understand. Like you think that you're acting like in this way, like the emperor has no clothes. You think you're acting like in a way that is very significant, the way you're acting. Yes, I retain my dignity. No. The truth is you're wrong, because of you, the simcha was toned down. Others maybe learned from you, and we consider you a shota. You don't get it. A shota is usually somebody who acts crazy, who acts weird, right? Who does weird things and doesn't care what people think. And now the Rambam's calling this guy who does care what people think and wants to retain that certain amount of dignity. The Rambam calls him a shota. Valzeh, he's a shulman. Shulman, in fact, the wisest person in the world, the anti-shota of humanity, says, Al tishader lifnei melech. You're in front of the melech here. Here it's lifnei Hashem elokeichem. Everything's gone. The sense of hierarchy, the sense of respect, formalized respectability, and come on, you there, everything. No, that doesn't apply here. The Torah wants what happens on Sukkot to be something so elevated that there is no room for, I am a Rosh Hashiva and this. No. He says, V'chol ha-mashpil atzmo. If a person actually seems like he's lowering himself, u'mekel gufay, it's like, what's going on with his body there, right? U'mekel gufay b'mekay mas'elu. He's sort of like, look at what he's letting his body become. Hu agadol hamechubed. He is great and considered honorable. He's being oved me'ava. He's forgetting about his station. He's just letting loose. He's serving with love. And that's what happened with David, Melech Yisroel, right? This is what, so we know that Michal was, right? Michal upbraided him, right? So we remember what happened was when David was dancing, right? In front of the Aron, David Macharker B'chol Oz L'fnei Hashem. This is the what the Vilna Gaon uses as the symbol of how we should be on Simchas Torah. David Macharker B'chol Oz. That you're mecharker, that you like you just keep on like churning more and more and more, like it is a repetition of gesticulation over and over, stronger and building. And David was wearing just an ephod. He was wearing just like a toga. He wasn't wearing royal begadim. He was dressed almost like a commoner. And there they were bringing the Aron back to Yerushalayim. It was coming back there, coming back from where it was by the Pelishtim, I'm sorry. And it came to Ir David. And of course, Michal saw what was happening. She looked outside the window and saw David there. And she saw being Mephazes and Macharker with Ne Adonai. And she felt David was, what's going on with him? Ooh, even though it was Lufnei Hashem, because the Aron representing God, but Kivazlo, it's like, I can't believe my husband, oh yeah, I don't want to see it. It's like, he's so, it's, what did he do there? It's like, it's so petty. Ugh. In her heart, they brought the Aron, and David, of course, brought Korbonos. The Pasuk says that Michal came to meet David afterwards, and she said, facetiously, harpy-like, Ma nichbarayay melech Yisrael, it sure is a glorious day, king of all the Jews. Asher niglach hayoyim l'nei amos avodov. You revealed yourself in front of all the servant women, right? The servant women of your people, of you, the people who are your avodim, who are under you. They were watching. They saw it just like I did. And what did they see? They saw you like revealing yourself like one of the empty people. So Chazal say part of it was that they saw him like picking up his feet and dancing, right? And she said, yeah, we knew dancing, but our feet almost never left the floor. It was like barely one foot up and barely the other foot then moved. And here you were, you could even see, I mean, some say that you could even see part of his body. Maybe even you can suspect that you could have seen underneath his toga, like a reikim, like someone empty. Vayomer David el Michal, lifnei Adonai, says, I was in front of God. Asher bochar bimei avich. That's why, even though your father, who you are a good representative of, represented a certain amount of dignity, he chose me because of this. This type of spontaneity, this ability to lose your inhibitions, this is one of the reasons why I was chosen. That's why he chose me from your father. Your father got dismissed. And every one of them, Mikol Beisai, all the other children and other people that had that type of attitude, he went to me from Yehuda and my feeling. And that's reason is why he made me the leader. And because I can do it, v'zichachti l'vnei Hashem, I could lose myself and just enjoy being in front of God. V'nakalisi od mizos. I could have been worse. I could have, in a way, been even more silly in what you call silly. But you see, shuffle be'enai. And I would have moved, dismissed any sort of self-dignity that you wanted me to have. You said, oh, those women that you talked about, how they looked at me. No, imam ikaveda. That's where I got glory out of that. That's where there was kavod based on that. And the Gemara says that Michal, for her statement, she didn't have any children after that. She couldn't have children. It was considered, in a way, the affront to David and her misunderstanding of what a melech should be, of what it means to be a melech, what it means to be an Eved Hashem. So as the Rambam says, we can learn from David's statement that anybody who acts like David did at the Simcha of Sukkos, that is greater. That is what gedul and kavod is to be able to lose yourself in front of God. That is the incredible part of what Simcha's Sukkos can create.
Rabbi Kivalevich, yes. Shlomo was from Michal or from Batsheva?
Shlomo was from Bat Sheva.
So interesting that Bathsheba was kind of was she disrobing in private, and he was kind of disrobing in his den.
All right, then I guess you could say he saw kinds of,
like she was more maybe more.
That's right. You could say, but I hear what you're saying. There's a certain lack of inhibition that Bathsheba showed, and
there's a positive in it. That
right, you know, the positive in it is not that you're not restrained and you're not into yourself.
Right.
I want to end here tonight with the Rambam's words in Mor Nevuchim about Sukkah specifically as well. This is from the Friedlander translation. He says that the Feast of Tabernacles, let's say Sukkot, which is a feast of rejoicing and gladness, is kept 7 days. We talked about this, that you need 7 days. He quotes Aristotle that it's a general custom among nations to have a feast during the time of the autumn when you've gathered in your labors. In ancient times, the sacrifices and assemblies of the people took place after the gathering of the corn and the fruit, as if the sacrifices were offered on account of the harvest. Another reason. So one thing the Rambam is telling us that they were used to it. This was something that all organized religions had, a yontif, a harvest yontif. Another reason is this: in the season is possible to dwell in sukkahs. There's no heat or troublesome rain, especially, you know, it's a very temperate time. So God specifically chose this time for whatever reason he had to glorify and for us to remember the desert experience. As he says, it perpetuates the memory, the miracles wrought in the wilderness. The moral lessons derived from these feasts is this: man ought to remember his evil days and his days of prosperity. He will therefore be induced to thank God repeatedly, to lead a modest and humble life. And on Sukkot, we dwell in tabernacles as inhabitants of desert do, that are in want of comfort. We shall remember that this has once been our condition. Although we dwell now in elegant houses in the best and most fertile land by the kindness of God and because of his promises to our forefathers. Once again, you can see that this is part of what informs what he says in Hilchos Shvi'is Yontif. If part of what we're doing is not just remembering the miracle, but remembering how bad we had it, and remembering that even though now we're having it good, remember where we came from, it makes sense that we need to include the people among us who are poor and needy. That's the whole point of Sukkot, in a way, is to remember where we were, remember what the travails we had. He then says that, whatever good we have received and ever will, is owing to the merits of the Avos, who kept the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. So that's another idea of why all the Yom Tovim are meant to recognize, the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, to recognize the Schus of Avos and how great they were. The reason why we have Shmini Atzeres, the Rambam says, is because even though the lesson was great to go out to the Sukkah, there's still the discomfort of the Sukkah, that therefore we go back in the house on Shmini Atzeres to complete the Simcha. Because even though it's a good lesson and there's a good idea behind it, there's still bugs, there's still still heat sometimes that you're not going to have in your house. There's still a comfort that you need in order to really have the simcha complete. That's why you have Shmini Atzeres. Why is it that you bring the four species? He said, well, look, everybody knows Chazal about why it's these four. A palm tree, a citron, a myrtle. He says, Chazal give a reason. The method of which is well known to those who are acquainted with the style of our sages. And they say each one represents a different type of person. But he says they're using the text here. The Rambam is giving you his take on all these interpretations of the Dalet Minim. They use the text of the Torah only as a kind of poetical language for their own ideas. They don't intend to give an interpretation of the text. Now, these Midrashic interpretations, even there's a debate about what they mean. Some think the Midrash contains the real explanation of the text. But, right? And he gets into this whole discussion here about when we have Chazal, as they do, if you take a look in Vayikra Rabbah, about the Dalet Minim, there's pages upon pages about what the symbolism of these four are. And the Rambam gets into all aside here in Mor Nevuchim about how Chazal make drushes. And he says many of them are just a drush and have nothing to do with the real pshat of it. It's a beautiful phrase to teach a moral lesson, but that's all it is. And therefore, he doesn't care that what he's about to say is not found in the Midrash. Because he believes the Midrashim were taking the Dalet Minim and coming up with ideas behind them as a way to basically encourage other moral lessons, which are not the inherent moral lesson behind Sukkos or behind the Dalet Minim. And this is the Rambam's opinion about Chazal here. Therefore, he's going to say what he thinks is the real reason behind it. I believe that the four species are a symbolical expression of our rejoicing that the Bnei Yisrael changed the wilderness from the wilderness, which was no seed, no figs, no vines, no water. They changed and they were able to enter a country that was full of fruit trees and rivers. It's really about going into Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's about. So it's interesting, although the sitting in the sukkah, according to the Rambam, is about remembering the desert trek, remembering that it was difficult. It's supposed to inspire in us a connection to those who don't have, to remember when we didn't have. But the Dalet Minim is the next part, is leaving the desert and going into Eretz Yisrael. In order to remember this, we take the fruit which is the most pleasant of the fruit of the land, branches which smell the best, the most beautiful leaves, and the best of the herbs, the willows of the brook. Now, so it reminds us of Eretz Yisrael. It reminds us of the way that the people eventually got Eretz Yisrael. Now, you'll say, why these four? So first of all, there were many of them in Eretz Yisrael, and you can get them. The Rambam says that God didn't want to command things that maybe are even more, you know, symbolic of Eretz Yisrael, but it would be hard for the Jewish people to get them because they're so expensive, you can't find them. The second thing is they look good, right? They're green. They have a certain sense of beauty in their greenness, or becoming green, becoming yellow. They also smell very nice. And practically, God knew, he created them, that they can keep fresh, even though many people, you have to go to put them in the refrigerator. Most of that, they're not. It's not like a type of flower that's going to go bad after a day. They keep fresh and green for 7 days. A peach doesn't. A pomegranate doesn't. Asparagus and nuts, I guess nuts might, but I'm not sure why. But so therefore, for a practical reason, they represent Eretz Yisrael. They represent going into Eretz Yisrael, but they also were plentiful. Right? So here we have the Rambam, very, very practical here. Almost cold. And you can see the difference here between his Moreh Nevuchim description. He doesn't try really, even in Mishneh Torah, to explain the beauty of the Lulav and Esrog and what it's about. That's not his purpose. But the type of description of Simcha that he gives us about Yontif and Sukkos in general, I think is tempered a little bit by his Sukkos description here, where he is grounding us in and having the understanding of, you know, where we've been, and to recognize and have Hakaras HaTov, and to also realize that what the Dalet Minim are, and how much they represent that incredible gift that we had, which was having our land and having Eretz Yisrael. That's why I think it's so important that, you know, when we take the Dalet Minim, that as much as, you know, we sort of, you know, to view as sort of a transporting ourselves to Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam. And perhaps, just to combine these two together, it could be, you know, that's why the mitzvah was to take the Dalet Minim in the Beis HaMikdosh, to take them every all 7 days. The Rambam actually says it means all Yerushalayim. So not just in the Beis HaMikdosh, and that's why there are many people that are makbid based on the Rambam to take their Dalet Minim in Yerushalayim and to go to the Kotel or in the Old City, and to be makayim a mitzvah from the Torah of all 7 days of the simachtem of Nei Hashem Elokeichem. With those Dalet Minim, and I guess for today, it would be realizing that we have Yerushalayim, that these Dalet Minim, which represent how we left the desert and how we came and had this. And of course, it isn't just being in the farms, it's actually being able to take it to Yerushalayim itself, to the Mokom HaMikdosh. And that is the great simcha, the simcha of having our own land when we had nothing, but also realizing that that land contains and is the epicenter of spirituality of the whole world.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.